Today is April 9th, and we're here with the news, and Wendell's on his phone.
I'm on the phone helping sell KVMs because they're back in stock.
That's not what he was doing.
You were
no, it totally was. Look, I'll show you.
And John.
Yeah, no.
John's our store guy.
No, hang on.
Yeah, because the people can see that.
Oh.
So today is government and robot.
Pretty sure. Moment hesitation of
I'm pretty
I'm not
sure
really
it's
sure.
Robot. It's always different because you just have to try to balance. Which doesn't matter because the links go crazy no matter what we do.
We got the perfect intro if it was going to be a Jeep Pie because it's like the favorite government robot, but it's not. FTC.
There's nothing robotic about him.
Yeah. He seems like, he does seem like a human being, just not
a very corrupt human being. A robot would not be that corrupt.
I guess I've conflated robots with lizard people.
Your mic's hitting the floor again. Sorry, everybody. It's going to be noisy. We've been trying to fix it because you guys complain about the.
There we go.
We got to get the metal clutch.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Patreon.com/.
I've had to run up and down the stairs 50 times, so I'm also sweating profusely, and it's raining outside, but it's the kind of rain where it smells really bad afterwards.
I don't think you blame the rain for that. You blame the environment.
No, I think that's unique.
So we're not going to start with the Jeep Pie, which we could have. But instead, I think probably this one was a little more pertinent to everyone's awareness. If you're only going to watch 5 minutes of the news, we've already wasted one of those.
You're
welcome. You need to hear about this.
The FTC gives ISPs the green light to block applications as long as they disclose it. We called it. Level one called it.
Like, you got to stop doing that.
No. Okay. Because we called it. Basically, the FTC said, hey, it's not, unless you're deceiving customers, we can't get involved. And if the ISP is like, hey, we're going to sell you like cattle, sell access to you like cattle, and we're going to block stuff, that's fine, which we said.
Now, I wonder, with applications, you assume they're talking about Facebook, right? Something like that, some corporate entity. But how far will they go? Will they try to beat VPNs?
They could.
Yeah.
They did it with BitTorrent. It's like, we're going to block BitTorrent. If BitTorrent is blocked, then there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. It's interesting. Now, that'll be nice if, here's something you can do if you would like to. It's like, hey, I want to make a website. I don't know what to make a website about, but I want to make a website that has some sort of public usefulness. And a lot of people will go to it. You can make a website cataloging what all the ISPs have disclosed that they are blocking. And that'll be super popular. And people will like you for it.
You know that they're going to put the list at the bottom of a locked filing cabinet in a disused laboratory.
Well, that's what you have to do. You have to go and search them out.
Have done that as a level one project. Now you just gave away our...
No, that's going to be a lot of work.
That is probably a lot of work.
And you're going to have to keep it up. You could maybe let the community
hire
do
an
it.
Intern for that.
If you let the community do it, though, they'll hire one of those... whitewash guys, like the Wikipedia guy, and he'll...
Not even the level one fandom is that dedicated.
Try to destroy it. Some of them are, but I don't like working with them. Now, having said all that, gotten that out of the way, the worst news, we can move on to a Jeep Pie.
The Pie's FCC tours the country promising better rural broadband, but his policies routinely undermine that goal. So this article is just rounding up a whole bunch of things. Where, once again, the FCC is doing this feel-good thing, but their actions show that their motives are quite different.
Yeah, I think we talked about once before, he was kind of doing his little victory lap. But this is, he's going all over the country, and Carl Bode estimates this is because he's thinking about a higher political office after his FCC chairmanship. Now, when it comes to the people, I think the people roundly hate him. But when it comes to paying his dues for the corporate masters... he's got a lot of political currency in his vault.
He's gotten away with, remember the, did you see the videos where a Jeep Pie was like, it was like the meme stuff, but it was just bad. It was just badly done.
No. That was the Daily Caller video.
Yeah, yeah. But the taxpayers paid for that.
Oh, wait, I never remember.
No, I think the Daily Caller did that.
Didn't they?
Is he, all I want to know is he taking the tour into the holler? Are we going to?
No.
See him somewhere here?
Well, that is where he's going. He's going to rural places where there's no internet.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, wouldn't this be the prime destination for him?
It could be. And they also estimate that older, more Republican people who have no idea what's going on, he comes and he glad hands them and he tells them that everything's going to be better. And that helps his election numbers because those people always vote.
Wow. That's horrifying because they have no idea what's going on. Like, he's not, that's evil. Like, it's not incompetent or morally bankrupt. It's, like, hideously evil.
You say that with such surprise in your voice.
Yeah.
When the personification of evil is doing it.
It's not the ordinary level of evil. It's like...
Well, every politician does that.
That's crazy.
That's big. Like, I think, isn't it toward the end of the election when you do the smaller town circuit? So that's just status quo.
I'm so sorry. I keep hitting the mic.
You're hitting the mic, and then I went to, like, do this, and then I hit my mic.
You need
like, stop.
You want me to go get you a squishy donut?
No, it wasn't that. I hit it with my foot.
Yeah, you hit it with your... Well, you did kind of hit it with your hand, too.
And it was... Well, I hit it with my hand because it's sinking again, which Tux is now preventing. So this is going to be the worst episode of the Level 1 News all year.
Not for sound.
For audio, it's not possible.
Yeah, it's not. We've done way worse.
In Colorado, they have all these states. They're doing their own version of net neutrality. Now, California had one that was really good, but then somebody got to them. And they're like, well, why don't you just delay this till the feds make a decision?
Oh, yeah. Remember we talked about that.
You can do that every time. And Colorado is trying something a little bit different.
Governor Polis is about to sign a Colorado net neutrality bill, one with some serious teeth. Ugh. This is basically, you're going to lose your grant money if you play shenanigans with the broadband. And so I guess this is important because a lot of Colorado is rural.
Oh.
So bad things are going to happen if you do stuff.
And I think... The big question, though, is if we can take away their grant money for doing that, why don't we take away their grant money for not doing anything positive with it?
It's grant money. You can't just ungrant it.
But that's what they're doing.
But no, you can't. No. You can't ungrant it.
Elizabeth Warren has introduced a bill that can hold tech execs responsible for data breaches. We got this one a little ahead, but that's okay because we need to talk about it more.
I was fighting with the URL bar because I pushed the number.
Down.
Yeah. So we talked about Elizabeth Warren last week doing the tractor thing. And as much as I disagree with her on a fundamental level, you can't say that the tractor thing is a bad idea.
No,
seems like a really good thing. And maybe this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a good idea in a properly functioning society, but where we are now today with people like Zuckerberg running the show, this is probably fine.
Well, how else do you stop them from leaking our data?
It's leaking the data or running roughshod over our rights. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. We're too big to fail. We can do whatever we want. Yeah.
We just get a slap on the wrist if we get anything at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the data, here's the thing about, here's why I think this, I won't take my usual libertarian stance of let the companies do what they want and keep the government out of it. The data has basically become currency.
Yeah.
And it's currency with our faces on it. And yet it is only spent, it's only traded by the corporate masters. So it's basically they're taking us and they're trading it and they're making money. And then every once in a while, because they're stupid, they lose a bunch of us. And then we have to suffer the consequences.
And the currency is devalued. Like, the value of our privacy is diminished as a result of that, which is something was taken from us that we will never get back.
So, I don't know. I have not looked at the law. It could be horrible and Orwellian. Probably is.
Probably is.
But maybe if it just scares them, I don't know.
What will end up happening is the large companies will have the status quo. And small upstart companies that are, like, trying to make the world a better place will somehow get entangled in its tendrils, and small business entrepreneurs will suffer.
Well, that's the whole Facebook please tax us thing.
Yeah.
Please tax us because we can afford it.
Yeah.
No one else can. Now, when it comes to politicians, they have recently become very on fire for the whole privacy thing. That seems to be a big... I think that's going to be a big 2020 issue, is personal privacy. But... do as we say and not as we do.
Former Senate staffer admits to doxing 5 senators on Wikipedia. So this is a staffer that worked in these offices, was fired, and it was like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to put your private phone number and address and stuff on Wikipedia. They threw the book at him. He did break into the office and do a lot of other stuff other than just the doxing, but they really threw the book at him.
Well, I mean, that's pretty extreme. Like,
well, he went after actual senators, so of course. So this guy didn't like the Kavanaugh hearing. He didn't like the Republican side of that. So he went after Rand Paul and McConnell and a couple of other Republican senators and put their information on Wikipedia. Now, Wikipedia has some kind of trust algorithm where if you make a change about senators from the Senate IP, it's like, oh, we can trust this. And then it propagated that elsewhere and made it worse.
As one does.
So, yeah.
It was a horrible thing to do, but you kind of have to give credit to the guy because he probably knew that and was like, this will be fine.
But it wasn't, he wasn't doing it to, like...
He also insulted keystroke bloggers and crazy stuff.
But yeah. It wasn't about, let's save the world and, you know, show
the
darkness. It was a political motivated thing.
Yeah.
He didn't like the Republicans.
Oh, I understand that. I'm still saying, though, like, I mean, he was just being a jerk, but he did it in a very efficient way. He did get caught. So
I think politicians are looking into this whole Heisenberg thing. It's like you can know what they're doing or where they are, but not both.
Oh, is that your lead in?
Yes. Because, well.
Oh, but they noticed we were blocking ads.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can still read the header.
I was looking at the headline. Well, so in Virginia, the Fairfax police have been ordered by a judge to stop gathering license data. That's not really the news. The news is that Virginia told the state law enforcement, hey, you got to stop just arbitrarily collecting license plate data and hanging onto it forever. So the state police said, okay, and now the state police only keep it for a day. But basically everybody else that's not the state police in Virginia hang onto the data forever.
But they do have, I think, a Virginia Supreme Court hearing pending about the whole thing. So maybe they'll look at that as case law. So this guy's, he had a very interesting argument, this judge. I think it was a he. He said their argument was a license plate and a picture of the car and a location and a time didn't identify a person because who knows who's driving the car, right? So that's not personally identifiable. But then he asked him, he was like, okay, can you run that number through any one of your other databases and get all of the information about this individual who owns the car? And they said, yes. So he said...
Surprise!
How is that any different than what I just described?
Yay! Reasonable rule. There's hope for Virginia yet.
And you have to say that the Department of Justice, they will never waste anybody's time. They are always working on what matters. The hardest hitting cases. We're talking about political corruption and major banks when they do crimes.
That time that they worked on blowing up the moon as a show of power to the Russians.
Everything, all the big things that are destroying our society, they are laser focused on those.
The DOJ reportedly warns the Academy about changing the Oscar rules to exclude streaming. So there's like a girl fight going on. So like Steven Spielberg was like, man, we need to exclude these streaming platforms, allegedly. But then he told somebody else that he didn't say that. And so the DOJ has said, look, you include things that are not traditional cinema in the Oscar awards process. If you exclude Netflix and competing services or services that can be seen to compete with, you know, Academy members, then we're going to investigate that as an antitrust thing.
Because they claim getting one of these awards is valuable to a movie.
It is.
Will result in sales. Now, Roma. Either of you guys see Roma?
I have not seen Roma.
That was on Netflix, but I haven't seen it.
Well, that apparently almost won Best Picture, and it got a couple of other awards.
Yeah. And a lot of people were upset about that, because it's like, I would have won if it weren't for those streaming.
And that's why. So they want the rule to be, you have to spend at least 4 weeks in actual movie theaters to compete.
4 weeks is a long time, especially, you know, there's so many Marvel movies and Disney movies that they're competing against for screen time anymore.
Yeah, See, the thing about it is to be in theaters, you have to go through one of those major motion picture things. What do they call those companies? Production companies. And they sort of control who gets in. So there's that whole...
They also control where the money goes.
Yeah, it's like that incestuous... It's why, you know, The Rock is in every movie right now because he's been chosen and they control who, you know, lives or dies. But with people like Netflix, you can go around that and make a really good movie. And
with actors no one has ever heard of,
they don't care for that.
Those young, hungry actors.
So here's a story, Wendell, I think you should be particularly interested in.
I've been working on my problems. Feds urge California to ban hands-free use of cell phones while driving. So, you know, your GPS directions, like you put in the thing before you start the car and then it reads the directions to you. No, none of that is allowed. You can't use the phone in any way.
But how does that any different than the car's GPS?
Or listening to a radio or...
Yeah, well, I mean, a conversation is going to take more mental power, but what about an audiobook? Couldn't that also be argued?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to hit play, and then I'm going to stop it.
I'm also curious about, like, what about people who need to have directions to get somewhere? Like, do they want everyone to go back to using atlases, which arguably could be more dangerous if you're trying to see where your turnoff is?
Right now, the rule is you don't touch the phone. So if you have to pick the phone up to use, like, a Google Map or something, that's illegal. Now, I wonder about Android Auto, where it transfers the phone onto the screen.
Clearly, California is not equipped to legislate this.
Well, it's going to be decided. Some judge is going to arbitrarily decide. That sounds like a bad idea.
There's this amazing video of a guy driving a Model S that got pulled over by the police because it's got that center console. It's just like an iPad-looking screen in the middle, and that's all there is. And the police is like, you can't have your computer mounted that way. And he's like, ha-ha, is it a joke? Are you joking? And the police officer was completely serious. And he'd never seen a Model S before. And he's like, that's literally the controls for the car. And the police officer's like...
Ironically, every police car has a computer mounted that way.
Yeah. But you're not allowed to have it as a citizen.
That's how they like it. So let's say, I don't remember, we did a story and they told what the cost was. It was much cheaper than usual, but it was still like mid six figures, I think, to get one of these cereal box sized rockets put up in there by the Falcon. So do you have recourse when your satellite goes up there for hundreds of thousands of dollars and... nobody can find it.
Why the Air Force still cannot identify more than a dozen satellites from one December launch. So the SpaceX Falcon 9 took off with a bunch of tiny satellites. And they were all deployed. And they were all deployed successfully. And we can communicate with all of them. We just don't know which one is where. It's like the server rack. You know, you set up a server rack and it's got a bunch of servers in it and nobody labeled them. And it's like, well, that server's somewhere in that rack.
We should start working on our Satellite Shark software. The problem is when you have a bunch of little satellites, it's important how you're directing your antenna because you only want to communicate with your satellite. But the Air Force usually tells the people, hey, your satellite is exactly here because we keep track of that stuff in space. But they don't know. So these people don't know where to point their dish to get their satellite. And there are a bunch of people who have satellites that just can't really use them.
Womp.
It's kind of suck.
They're there. They're operational. We just don't know.
That seems like, though, I mean, there must be more to it, because why wouldn't you just say, okay, give me the list of 60.
And then just...
and I'm going to put them on. I'm going to see which one responds.
Yeah.
There must be another layer to it.
Yeah.
So we talked about... actually, we didn't talk about this yet. We will talk about another country doing this, but first, let's talk about the U.S.
Facebook, Google, and Twitter to face U.S. lawmakers about tech censorship. Company officials are expected to testify for a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee next week. This has to do with the Senate thinking that, what is it, left-wing speech is censored?
Bro, no. Right-wing
speech. Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Very right. And the tech world is unapologetically left-leaning.
Yeah.
And they kind of always have been. And whatever. But obviously the Republican senators don't like that, and they are saying... you must come.
We need a voice.
Yeah, we gotta talk about this. They do have a voice. But it is kind of weird when you see things that Facebook will pull down, and then somebody will write an article about it, and they'll be like, oh, that was a mistake. We're putting that back. But it was a mistake.
Yeah.
It's just...
it was a mistake that was approved by like 10 people before we finally did it.
And it's always the, you know, like the hot button issues, like guns or abortion or whatever.
Vaccines.
I don't think the right wing are anti-vaccine necessarily.
That's
what the left would have you believe.
No, it's crazy because it's like the super far right and the super far left. Yeah. They come together in that regard and then they both become anti-vaccine.
The crazy like what's the word, Krista? Crunchy?
Crunchy granola.
The crunchy moms.
Yeah, the left leaning crunchy granola.
Anti-vaccine as the, like, you know, Waco type people.
The fundies. Yeah.
We've ceased to be able to have any kind of intelligent discourse. We just need to shut the whole thing down and start over.
Yeah.
I don't think starting over is going to change human nature, though.
By the whole thing, you mean humanity, right?
Yeah.
Praying for rain. Now, this was what I was referring to earlier. I thought we'd already talked about it because I don't know why I thought that. But
you're an idiot.
Everybody
today's wants, one of those days.
Wants to crack down on the tech giants. The tech giants are like this big, delicious cookie of money. And all the governments of the world are just, they just want to chomp away at it.
I mean, honestly, level one's really feeling the pressure as a tech giant. So.
I will not ever go to the UK and answer to those socialists.
Social media bosses could be liable for harmful content, according to a leaked UK plan. So this is very similar to the thing that Elizabeth Warren has come up with, except it goes even farther than what she came up with.
Now, hers was about data breaches.
Yeah, specifically data
breaches. This is more about, like, the New Zealand shooting thing.
Yes. Well, it's more about making... It seems like she wants a pound of blood in whatever scenario she deems appropriate.
Flesh.
Or flesh, yeah. A pound of flesh. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. I don't know. It's an off day.
What weighs more, a pound of blood or a pound of flesh? But yeah, they're saying if something like the New Zealand shooting thing happens and they can prove that you didn't do your due diligence, whatever that means, or, you know, whatever, then they can come after you. But they also didn't say what counts as due diligence, like what you have to do minimally, or who in the company can be held responsible.
One of the people that was quoted on the law draft side said that it would be decided by a jury, but something they went on to say was that, you know, no reasonable person on a jury would think that if they take more than an hour to respond, that that's reasonable. And it's like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I mean, it takes an hour to find out about it in most cases. Yeah. But the shooting thing, they didn't find out till 32 minutes later, right?
Yeah.
After it started. And then they got right on it.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. I mean, what if it happens in the middle of the night? You have to have a night staff skeleton crew just for mass shootings.
So clearly the only people that can generate content on the internet or that will mediate content on the internet will be giant companies. Like, you can't have a private user forum anymore. Cause
really, we should just cut out those giant companies though and make sure that, you know, the government can handle it. Let's just do a government media company. They'll do it.
Stuff like this makes me think they're really schizophrenic, because on the one hand, they're like, we want a piece of the giant tech cookie, but on the other hand, these kinds of things that they want will only be possible if you're Google or Facebook.
And it's this thing they're doing in the UK it's absolutely insane, and I don't think any Western nation could do something stupider than that.
Australia says, hold my beer.
Mate.
Australia passes social media law penalizing platforms for violent content. Literally nothing is defined here, and even internal Australian people were criticizing the crap out of this, and the answer was literally, we're just going to pass this now and figure out the details later. And it's like,
that's not how laws work.
I'm pretty sure that's not a good way to govern your country.
Isn't that what we did with Obamacare? Yeah.
And the DMCA and...
Patriot Act.
Patriot Act.
Chris, I thought you'd be specifically interested in this story.
Why?
Because this kind of stuff drives you crazy. Can you not see that far?
No. I see the word sugar daddy, though, and a smiling young lady.
Well, that smiling young lady you see is the sugar baby.
Oh, of course.
And this website brings them together.
Sugar daddy website owner to be charged with debauchery in Belgium. So there were universities in Belgium, as it turns out, and this website operator was handing out flyers that was like, hey, you're a student. You're probably attractive. Would you like a sugar daddy? And apparently a lot of students did, because the university filed a complaint.
I thought university was like cheap or free in most of Europe.
Well, other stuff isn't.
Yeah, that's true.
You want on an iPhone?
You don't need an iPhone for college education.
Yeah, but...
But you want one, yeah, and if you could just tour yourself out for it. I
mean. His defense was, this is only a meeting website and any kind of sexual arrangement. But there was no guarantees. It's like, whatever they do after they meet, that's not my business. They talk about other websites like this operating around the world. We've got one here in the US. There was one, I think, in the UK. One of them, I can't remember which one it was. actually gave you automatic VIP status if for the babies if their email address was .edu.
Oh. What if you just have your old EDU address? Because I kind of do.
You're going to have a disappointed daddy when you show up.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
It's like, who is this spinster?
Yeah.
I'm just here for the jewelry.
The EU.
That's what women are looking for. Maybe they are. I don't know. I would think you'd want like electronics and cars and vacations.
That was the look for the gram. In the stock photo, I thought, because it was like, what an odd stock photo. It's like, yeah. Oh, I'm getting a necklace.
You want the experience for the gram.
Yeah. Well, jewelry is just a way of like transferring value without actually handing you cash. It's like the gift card of the prostitute world. Mm. But I do think modern girls would lean more toward goods rather than jewelry. You know who would love jewelry instead? Rappers.
Oh man, you got me a gold comb. Thank you so much.
Comb?
I don't know. What else is there? Gold chain?
Chains with
medallions. Yeah, with your name on it. Oh, yeah.
With diamonds.
So passe.
Ice, yeah.
That's like the hottest thing in the rap world, at least. Well, the EU, when they're not trying to go after... Well, I guess this is a big tech company, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is just another way of going after big tech.
I kind of like this one, though, because the EU has charged at Valve and 5 game publishers with they're doing unfair geo-blocking. And so what this is like, if you can buy something cheap in Estonia, you can't, like, Valve is not supposed to introduce controls to prevent people from outside Estonia from buying the Estonian version of the game. So there's price controls, because video games in certain countries cost more. Like, video games in the US are crazy expensive. So the EU says, that's great. If you can sell a product somewhere cheap in the EU and it's somewhere more expensive, like, that's totally fine, but consumers have to be able to buy from wherever it's cheaper, and their Valve and 5 other companies are not allowing that.
You say they're expensive here. I don't think they're as expensive here as they are in the EU. And here, check this one out. In Australia,
they're crazy expensive in Australia.
Yeah. Australian dollars trade so are weak. Worth more than the American dollar
right now. Something went horribly wrong.
It may have changed over time, but during a time when 70 Australian dollars was worth way more than 70 American dollars, what the American game companies would do is whatever the price was in America, that's what it was in Australia. Not adjusted for currency exchange. If it was $70 here, it was $70 Australian dollars there, which would amount to something like $90 at some point.
That's pretty insane. I did. Well, go ahead.
This is the reason that I have no pity when people complain. It's like, oh, you shouldn't use those key sites because those are stolen. I'm sure some of them are stolen, but a lot of them are just purchased from these dirt poor countries.
Yeah.
And these game companies are willing to sell it there rather than not sell it. So it's not that the game has a value. They sell the game for as much as they think the market will take. And I feel that I identify as an Estonian when I purchase AAA video games.
The U.S. has ruled this kind of thing is okay for like textbooks and stuff. But we've never tried it for anything like video games in court that I know of.
They're saying within the union.
Yeah.
So if you're... South Africa, this is region locking. I don't know if we mentioned that, but some games are region locked. So, like, you can't install a game in the U.S. Cereal Straws, our sugar daddy for the Twitch stream, was going to buy. I don't know if he actually bought them or he was going to buy a game, and he could only get the EU copy. So it was useless.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Sorry.
So that kind of thing. You can do that between America and the EU, but you can't do it within the EU, is what they're saying. If this is one of those, I guess, GDPR things, if they are found guilty, that's 10% of their revenue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot.
For Valve, that's a lot.
Do we, so Zerial mostly just stays on Twitch, and he says he doesn't watch the news very often unless he's here for a kitten update. So, like, let's take a break in our normal news to hear an update about the kittens.
Well, it's funny.
Twitch chat.
It started out that Crouton was the nightmare, and Toast was demure and more lovable. But now Crouton, I feel like he's come along, he's matured, he's transitioned. They still meow, not as much. I've been beating them with Taco Bell napkins, which is super effective because I'm trying to simulate the mother swatting them when they do something I don't like. And the napkin doesn't hurt them, but it freaks them out a little bit. But Crouton, he's being quieter. And now he doesn't like run to the door when I get home and demand attention. He just, wherever he's sleeping, he just does the thing where he like rolls over and shows me his belly and paws at the air.
Like, come here.
And when I pet him, he's just limp. Like, he just lays there and lets me just manhandle him and pet him and purrs. But Toast now has taken up the slack for being needy and annoying.
Does he meow a lot now? Or?
Oh, so much more. And he's gotten louder.
Wow.
I'll also advocate the pine litter. It didn't control the smell. I had to transition out. So I've gone to Arm & Hammer Cloud Free.
Cloud Free?
I don't know what it's made of. There is no dust in that stuff.
I too would like a world that is cloud free.
We'll get some Arm & Hammer Cloud Free. Now, it does have a... I don't like the smell of cat litter. It's got sort of like
it's cat litter.
It smells like an air freshener, which is kind of not the greatest smell, but it's better than poop. And so far, it's totally controlling the odors. So, thumbs up.
Armor All, better than poop.
Not Armor All. We're not waxing the cats.
Oh, yeah.
Arm & Hammer.
Arm & Hammer.
Cloud Free.
I'm thinking about how I need to clean my car.
Mentally, I substituted that. Didn't even hear a difference. Like, I heard...
You were like, yeah, okay.
I didn't hear Arm & Hammer.
Yeah. It's supposedly got the anti-odor. You know how, like, you get the Arm & Hammer put in your fridge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baking soda?
Right, yeah. Other than that, you know, not much to report. Toast was able to open the Lazy Susan holding 4 boxes of 9mm. He is that strong. So now we will go to 6 boxes and see if he can move that.
The cat's just going to be like super muscular.
He's just going to be swole.
Well, it's a rotational, like he's not lifting them. He's just, So we'll see how much weight.
Maybe both of the cats help together.
They could do that. Although I've only ever found Toast on the counter. Kirshan does not seem to care.
Or he got up there and he's the one that got into the tape or the sticky stuff or whatever.
Yeah, they knocked my phone off the nightstand and it went into the bed and I couldn't find my phone for like an hour. Thinking that I misplaced it. But it was just under the bed because I knocked it out. And now back to our regular... Do you have any Rue updates while we're in the pit?
Nope, Rue's been good. She's been totally fine.
Hasn't eaten any socks?
No, not eating any socks. She refused to eat a spider last night. I opened my door and there was like a giant wolf spider like in under the crack of the door. And it like ran inside before I could stop it. And I was like, Rue, get it, get it. And Rue went over, sniffed it, and was like, nah, I'm cool with the spider. And then just like left.
Rue knows that spiders are beneficial to a household.
But that thing was huge. I don't know where he went. That spider could be anywhere in my house.
He went to eat pests that live in your house and do beneficial things.
Let's hope so.
And spread his butt juice all over the doorway so you can walk into it.
Do wolf spiders do webs?
Is there a spider that doesn't do webs?
There are some, yeah.
Some burrow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you want.
Yeah, wolf spiders, like, they're so big and fuzzy. That's why I wasn't sure. Like, maybe they burrow instead of make webs. I don't know.
I'm sure the...
Tell us in the
chat
comments.
Will fill us in on that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's go back to France.
French ISPs ordered to block Sci-Hub and LibGen. And, So, this court case was kind of weird. The rights holders wanted to specify how they would be blocked. And the court said, no, a DNS block is fine, which DNS blocks usually pretty easy to get around. But there's also a lot of people in France that are apparently using the academic papers that are on Sci-Hub. And I would
this
think...
Is, well, we should fill in the what this is. This is when they do academic papers and studies and stuff like that, they actually will paywall them. And the money doesn't go to who did the study. It goes to the publishing platforms. And that seems wrong because sometimes these are publicly funded studies, which is crazy. So the Sci-Hub people said, no, we will get these and we put them online for free, which they say is a copyright violation.
Which seems weird because the copyright should go with the original author. And if the original authors are okay with it, it should be fine. But it's too hard to actually track down all the individual authors of all the individual papers and
get their approval.
So it's this... I don't know. It's a weird situation. And France, of all places.
Is it too hard to just let knowledge be public?
Yes, because you can gatekeep that and make lots of money, I guess, is their thinking.
As we transition into China, we have to talk about Huawei. How could you not talk about Huawei? You know, I was thinking about Huawei. We talked about last week how they had the biggest quarter ever. Do you think that all of this maybe is just a really great commercial? Because who's ever heard of Huawei? It's usually the internals and things. Now it's a household name.
Is the commercial like, I would like to share everything that I know with the Chinese government in hopes that they can maybe sort out this mess that we find ourselves in?
Most people, when you're like, okay, this phone is half the price, but the Chinese government's going to watch what you do. And they're like, let the Chinese government look at my memes. I don't care. Well, I don't got nothing to hide. So the thing about Huawei is they've actually been bucking against the U.S. Say, okay, you want to kick us out of places? You want to say bad things about us? Prove it, bro. Bring your proof. And the U.S. government says, now we have the proof. But how did they get the proof?
By spying on Huawei, U.S. found evidence against the Chinese firm. So this was a FISA thing. The court, I had a slightly different read of what.
But wait, evidence of what?
Evidence of wrongdoing.
Spying?
Yes.
So you're saying by spying, they've learned about spying.
Not only that, by doing super secret spying, which is going to mean that this court case is going to be secret. We're not going to be allowed to know because they got a secret warrant.
That doesn't sound like something that should exist in a free country.
Did Huawei, it would be awesome if Huawei was like, oh yeah, we've got our own FISA type mechanism and we got a secret warrant.
We have a secret warrant against you too.
I'm sure China has way worse than FISA type stuff. But they're saying not only surveillance, but also bank fraud. They say they have proof of bank fraud. Of course, we don't know the details because it's secret.
Is that like the HSBC bank fraud? Because that was a thing that no one cared about.
So when governments turn on Huawei and the other Chinese companies, that hurts. But what might hurt a little bit more is when the education system itself.
MIT has cut funding ties with Huawei and ZTE, citing U.S. investigations. So no new engagements or renewals of existing engagements, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology says, explaining that partnerships with certain countries need extra scrutiny. So these companies were working with MIT, and now they're not.
Certain countries. It's China. Can we not just say that it's China? I guess Russia would be involved, but I doubt MIT's working with Russia.
I mean, what if a group of scientists from Iran showed up and they're like, we've got a breakthrough for 6G. We can use really inexpensive components, and it's going to be the most amazing wireless network ever. One base station could serve the entire Eastern Seaboard, and we want to help develop that technology in the U.S.
And then you just wake up because that was a dream.
Yeah.
Well, I think we would treat that similar to their oil well.
Just appropriate it.
Mm.
Like, oh, wait.
Oh, look.
I made this.
Yeah. This was mine. But also, that seems unlikely because do they have 4G
no,
in Iran?
They don't have 210 cans in a
they
string,
don't have much. I don't think they have a lot of infrastructure. And also, aren't they, because it's a desert, it's fairly low populous in a lot of the parts.
Some things went wrong. Yeah.
What? Some bombs, maybe?
Yeah.
And on the topic of China, we've talked about the social credit system. Now, every week, we get a new thing that's not allowed under the social credit system and a new thing that they will take away from you. So, travel, you get completely shut down. Your kids can't go to certain schools, can't borrow money. There's certain places you can't go to, and it can be for something as little as jaywalking or spitting in the street or something as big as corporate fraud. But this new one really pushes the envelope in terms of, is this antisocial?
Lots of things can hurt your social credit score in China. People changing jobs too often could be punished by China's social credit score system. So this is only one province pushing for this, though. But still.
Zhejiang? Is that how you pronounce that?
Probably not.
Like, look, these millennials, they are changing jobs like crazy. We need them to just work.
See, I think that, I don't know how true that is in Asia, though. In the U.S., everyone's like, oh, change jobs every year, every 2 years, because you're not going to get a raise with inflation the way you should if you don't.
What?
But I've heard in Asia that's not the case. Like, people will stay at the same company at a much higher rate than they would if you were, say, in the U.S.
Well, apparently that's changing because they've showed a lot of tweets and stuff here. Of course, you can cherry pick those, but the people seemed pretty upset about it. But this guy was speaking somewhere and an audience question was, hey, I run, such and such business and these young people keep leaving us and I don't want them to. What are you going to do about that? And that guy's response was, well, that could be a social credit thing.
Or you could just have a better place to work. Pay them for the work they do.
There's no definition of how much is too much. So you think like one hop a year, would that be okay?
No, that would probably be too much for the social credit. You need to work there at least 5 years before you can move, even if it's terrible.
One thing that's annoying that happens here a lot is, like, one day they just disappear. Like, there's no, not only is there no notice, they're just gone. Like, you can't get a hold of them by email or phone or
they
anything.
They ghost out of a job. It's strange.
It's just,
there's, yeah.
That would definitely be a social credit score event.
For our younger audience, like if you're wondering how to leave a job, give a 2 weeks notice, please.
At least, yeah.
Especially if you personally have been handling certain projects and someone has to step in and take over that.
Have pity on them. Because that's please.
Unpleasant.
Just leave a few notes even. That would be great.
When we talk about China, so the stereotype in America, which I'm going to admit, I mean, I know it's a stereotype, but I have seen this play out a lot. The computer science department at our college, lot of Chinese kids, and they were all very studious, very good academically, and laser focused on their studies. So in China, it seems like that's also true. They're really, it's like, how can we get better students? We have to have better students. You know that big like national testing thing they do in China? Mm-hmm. And it's like they shut down stores that week. It's a huge event. And they're always thinking, what can we do to push this envelope? And this one, a little Orwellian.
China is reportedly trialing attention detecting bands in schools.
We got a better picture of it down here. Yeah. So I don't know if this is like a EKG type thing or if it's just like head movement or whatever.
Yeah, it's EEG.
But
it can tell when your attention is starting to wander and a whole bunch of other things. And it's from BrainCo. I think the next version of this is probably going to deliver a small electric shock.
Yeah.
BrainCo. What was the one from Ren and Stimpy? SpumCo. It makes me think of that for some reason. But yeah, if you... And so the teacher has a live read of who's paying attention and who isn't. And I imagine like at the end of the week, you'll get a percentile score.
Do you get a sticker? Do you get to go to the pop break if you...
No, your parents get to get out of the gulag.
They get one bus trip. You may take one bus trip into the city.
For every week that you make 98 or above, they get their credit limit raised $500.
Oh.
I made that part up. But it wouldn't surprise me. Shock me at all. Now, I wasn't sure where to put this. Like, should we put this in the social media section or what? And I decided, why not just, China, we'll just do an Asian section. Because we actually have a couple of stories. And Singapore, that's a country we don't talk about a lot.
Facebook and a rights group have hit out over Singapore's fake news bill. I read this, and with the, like, especially with what Australia has done, this seems much less Orwellian.
Yeah, but that's relative.
Yeah, but you think maybe it's like, once again, Australia is the grand experiment where it's like, let's come up with the craziest thing that nobody will ever accept so that something like this will appear to be more reasonable.
Could be. So they don't want to censor anything. Whatever it is that they deem fake, now who decides what's fake? That's still up in the air, I think. I think it's just the government. But they don't want you to take it down. They just want you to add a label and the other side of the story. Or it's like, this is not fact, or here's why.
The only thing that I could agree with that the government, the official that was quoted in this says, is like, we want people to be able to read and decide for themselves. And I think that is, I would agree with that in the right scenario.
But here's the thing, they're deciding what is fake and it gets a fake label, yeah, essentially. So,
well, could somebody look at that and decide that the government is overreaching?
They could, but we're talking about, again, let's transition back to the old people that believe Ajit Pai.
Those poor, poor people.
And I don't like to make the argument like, oh, the people are too stupid, we have to protect them from themselves. But it does heavily weight it in one direction when you're putting a fake label on something.
It is really horrifying when somebody who knows about technology will tell a politician, like, this is going to blow up in your face in this way. And they're like, I don't know if I believe you because you have an agenda. It's like, are you just that jaded or that corrupt?
Do you not also have an agenda, sir?
Yes, they are both jaded and corrupt, I'm sure. Because you have to be both to get into the upper level of politics.
So horrifying.
It's a path that your feet are both dirty and calloused by the time that you get.
I thought you were going to go for a Star Wars quote there. Just, anger leads to hate and something dark side, and then all of a sudden you're the Senate Majority Leader.
I don't think there's a great analog there, but I see what you're getting at.
I smell what you're stepping in.
Continuing with the Asian block, it seems like China is always the blocker, right? China wants to censor everything in their country. They don't want any Western stuff. They don't want girls eating bananas on streams. They don't want you wearing certain clothes.
I forgot about that.
You can't talk about Tiananmen Square. But what happens when a country turns the tables and blocks China's content?
Taiwan to block Tencent and Baidu streaming sites on security risk. So this is a cultural thing, apparently. There's an election in 2020, and one way that Taiwan has influence from China is by having a lot of streaming and cultural stuff come from those streaming sites to Taiwan, and so they're a little worried about that influencing the election.
Well, they actually banned that. So they said you cannot have a Chinese company broadcast into Taiwan. And this goes back, if you're not aware, we've talked about this before, China feels that Taiwan is part of China. And Taiwan says, no, remember we're independent. And China says, no.
And Taiwan's like,
that's so cute that you think that. But we will take you back at someday at our choosing. So they blocked them. But then the Chinese companies, Tencent and Baidu, just bought local companies because they're massively, massively rich. And they started broadcasting to those local companies. Taiwan is now saying, you cannot do that. And apparently, this is kind of like an Amazon Prime Netflix type of thing. And a lot of Taiwanese people have this.
Mm. Interesting.
So they'll probably actually be upset about it, of losing it.
Yeah.
We'll just undo the deal and have it go back to local owners. Problem solved.
Yeah, but then you don't get the Chinese. I imagine the Chinese stuff has way better production quality.
I don't know about that.
It could go either way.
Think about Hollywood versus whatever Canada does.
Bollywood.
The Toronto Film Festival.
Yeah, I don't. When's the last time you saw a Canadian movie?
There come the downvotes.
Come on,
I can't even think of it.
No, there are some, and I'm sure they're fine, but if you lived in Canada and you didn't get to watch Avengers Endgame, how pissed would you be?
I wouldn't care. I'd just be like, oh, it's finally over.
Normies think?
I don't think any kind of region locking is going to affect our audience.
What if you were in Canada, you couldn't watch Star Trek?
The current incarnation of Star Trek? That's probably better for my mental
health. No Star Treks at all. They were not made in Canada.
I will find a way around that.
Well, I think that's the Taiwanese people. And we'll wrap up government to talk about the absolute power of Vladimir Putin. He's so powerful that he can change time and distance itself.
When Putin's around, the GPS goes haywire, a study has found. So, yeah, the Russians don't take any chances on GPS because, hey, GPS may be used for low-grade explosives or, you know, quote-unquote terrorists or whatever.
Low-grade? What about U.S. military ICBMs and rockets?
I'm sure we've got our own whatever it is.
So they figured this out. They were building a bridge somewhere, and he was like, hey, let's go, and we're going to take a victory lap across the bridge because I funded it or whatever. And they had some warships anchored off near the bridge. When Putin drove over the bridge, the warship GPSs told them that they were on land.
Nice.
And as soon as he was gone, everything went back to normal. So, yeah, he's got some sort of crazy GPS shield that screws the signal whenever he's around.
You missed. How did you miss? We have millimeter accuracy GPS. How did you miss?
Yeah. You can't really blame Putin because, you know, he came up in that KGB system. So, for sure, people were and probably are trying to kill him at all times. So, yeah. We talk about self-driving cars, and one of the things about self-driving cars, when they start driving all by themselves, it's going to be weird if everybody's going to have a slightly different system because they're all competing. And I've often wondered about that. Like, some of those little driving rules, like turning right on red, what if one car company believes in that and one doesn't? Mm. That could be terrible. And so maybe this is a good thing.
Ford, GM, and Toyota are collaborating for self-driving safety rules. I think it's a lot of what you said, but I think it's also an effort to avoid government regulation because the government will step in and make a horrible mess for everybody.
You think this will go about how they've regulated the web?
Yeah.
They're like, it's mostly okay, but then every now and then Safari just messes stuff up for unknown reasons.
Once the politicians are involved, all these self-driving cars will have to have a V-chip. And it's like, wait, isn't that the thing from like the 90s that controls TV content? Yes, every car must have a V-chip.
But when Safari blocks cookies and breaks, you know, requests, no one dies.
That's true. Well, I die a little bit inside every time I troubleshoot why something's broken.
Just a little bit. If your car does that, you'll die a lot.
That's true.
So, yeah, but also it makes you wonder, what about the companies that are outside this umbrella? Are they just, they don't get to be part of the rulemakers?
Well, no, I mean, that's actually even better for them. Like, Ford, GM, and Toyota would be doubling down on it because then they would be setting rules that a competitor has to follow. So they may be able to put that competitor at a disadvantage.
If they could get that adopted as the actual standard. But it is not the standard right now. It's just their thing that they're doing.
That's a head start on their competition.
I guess it's sort of like a federation. Yeah. Like, join or die.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I just don't know how effective it will really be.
Well, it'll be super effective because the robots ain't going to argue. They'll do whatever they're told.
But the people who manufacture the robots might.
Oh, you see what you're saying. Are you saying that car companies might purposely make the vehicles cheat at testing and standards?
That would never happen.
I would never imply such a thing, though I do believe it heartily.
We all said remembering the
emissions,
the diesel emissions. It was Volkswagen?
That was more than just Volkswagen. And that just came up again. And they found that they were doing way more. Like, even, I think even Ferrari was part of it.
Yeah.
Do people expect Ferraris to be low emission? It's like, oh, we got this V12.
I need them to be green.
But yeah, super green V12.
It only uses one cylinder at a time.
It's got one seat. But really good for the environment. And speaking of artificial intelligence, this is sort of a little bit, it's about artificial intelligence, not an artificial intelligence, but Google. They've caught a lot of flack. They had the military contract. They had the Dragonfly. And their employees are just rising up. And the latest thing they've latched onto is the fact that they had an AI council. And one of the people on the AI council wasn't friendly to transgenders. Mm. And the other one was a military guy. So the Google people just screeching.
Google employees are lining up to trash Google's AI Ethics Council. The reality is not just that, but also that because of the Dragonfly thing, I think that that's kind of an open secret in Google. Because of the Dragonfly thing, even if somebody is trying to honestly come up with something for AI ethics so that we don't accidentally create an AI that kills us all, because of the Dragonfly thing, it diminishes the legitimacy of this kind of stuff. And the Google people are super smart. Even if somebody is well-intentioned doing something like this, they're going to look at that so skeptically that it's just going to it's going to grind to a halt.
Well, I mean, they specifically brought up the transgender thing.
Like, yeah, yeah.
One of the people believes that there's two genders, and that's just like, nope, they can't be anywhere near it. But they got their way.
Google cancels the AI ethics board in response to outcry. Controversial panel just lasted just a little over a week. It'll be back. Don't worry.
Who will control the AIs?
Just like Dragonfly. It'll be back.
They'll get rid of the naysayers. It'll be back.
Well, I think they will have to get rid of those two people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, if you're going to have a council, shouldn't a council represent all the viewpoints?
Even the wrong one?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the military is going to... You have to have a military.
I'm thinking back to your Optimus Prime thing.
They haven't heard that. Yeah, we can't talk about that on the
radio. We can't talk about that, no.
Message me privately, and I will share the Optimus Prime allegory.
Or show their Patreon.
Go back, it's on the last podcast.
But the military is a reality. We could scale it back probably like 80% and still be fine, but you have to have a military.
Yeah.
So, and they're going to use AI. Yeah. So don't you want them on the council?
Well, I would think that if you have somebody that's in the military that's on the council and they're not hard-headed or stubborn, exposing them to the way that the geeks on that platform think might actually help the military person see the world from a different perspective.
Couldn't that be the opposite as well for the people who are bleeding heart?
But there's only one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one. I mean, again, the military is going to do what they want, but maybe by bringing them to the table, you can get them to agree to certain things.
Or just inspire that guy. It's like, this is, you know, this is what we're fighting for. Maybe too idealistic.
It's kind of that whole neoliberal thing where it's like everybody has to have a place and a voice except for you. You're me. And it's like, okay.
That seems
contradictory, but whatever. And Tesla autopilots. We have to remember to put in the extra Tesla story that Krista brought up, but I think we'll wait and do that in business.
Yeah.
This one, remember the adversarial images?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of the name. Adversarial, they had the banana.
with the holographic sticker.
Oh, yeah. Put a sticker on it, and it's, the AI is like, that's a truck. Well, what if they use those on the roads?
Researchers have tricked Tesla Autopilot into steering into oncoming traffic using just some stickers. So, see, they put some stickers on the road there, and the Tesla Autopilot's like, those markings mean that I need to get over into the other lane when it, that would be bad.
But here's the thing. If you're I can't remember that one guy's name, but there's like the one Tesla shill who posts paragraphs every single time. Well, hang on. I know you're typing right now. Wait a second. They actually could not do this with stickers. They only were able to do this by taking the video feed from the camera, doctoring it, and then feeding it back into the Tesla.
Ooh, nice.
That seems like that would take a lot of work and not really be a feasible.
But, well, they're just trying to prove that, hey, somebody probably could come up with a sticker to do this, but we just don't have the time and money to do that.
That's such a bizarre edge case, I would think. That
there was right now, the Tesla Autopilot system is so not completely autonomous that it's easy to imagine that people pay attention while they drive with Tesla Autopilot. So, like, if the Tesla Autopilot starts to do something weird, most people are like, okay, I'm this is why I've got to monitor the system.
I don't remember. I think I didn't include it because it was super boring. But
yeah.
MIT. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. But in the future, when Autopilot is better, that is absolutely going to kill people.
Yeah, and Krista, you say it's like not a big deal, but dying in a battery fire, I feel like it's a big deal.
Listen, you're taking a Tesla, you got Autopilot on, you're taking your chances. Though, to be fair,
not paying attention.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes I think that I'd probably be a worse driver. I'm not sure.
You know what? I broke out the zero turn for the first time yesterday. And I was driving around. And I was like, wow, this twin stick thing, this is super efficient. Why don't more vehicles do this? And then a fly landed on my face. You got to use two arms at all times. Or you'll veer under the wrong direction. Takes a little getting used to. Now, Krista, I think to date, it's true, you do not have any marijuana convictions. Is that true?
I have no convictions of anything.
Okay. So this doesn't affect you, but it's kind of nice using AI for this kind of purpose.
The LA County is using an algorithm to clear 50,000 pot convictions faster. The darker side of this story is that because pot is legal now in California.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The governor, I guess, gave the prosecutors until 2020 to, you know, release the low-risk offenders or the people that were just jailed in marijuana. And so they've run out of time. There's literally no time. There's no way they can complete it in time. They have to use an algorithm.
That thing we put you into the for-profit prison for is legal now. But we ran out of time before we could clear your record, so you're going to stay there. That's only in America. That's the American experience right there. Viva la drug war. And speaking of things that you will be super interested in, Krista, is...
Oh, hit the mic.
No. What have you done?
It's fine.
She gets so excited when we talk about weed. But this AI is going to grow your plants so much more effectively.
Pesto!
Machine learning is making why would you put pot in pesto?
It's basil. The article's basil. It's about basil.
Pesto.
I didn't get that at first.
Yeah, I was like, pesto's basil.
So, yeah, what this thing does is it uses that spectrochromography. Is that what it is, where they burn it and look at the results?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what.
So spectrographic chromography. Anyway, it's you burn a little bit of something and you look at what comes off of it and you're like, hey, this contains so much of X, Y, and Z. So they figured out the best tasting basil, what that looked like. And then this AI just changed a bunch of variables and grew a bunch of basil and figured out that 24-hour light results in the best tasting basil.
I could see that.
Nice.
So, in theory, can you just put it in under a grow light and then... Or does it need to be actual?
No, well, it's the cycle. So you have a light-dark cycle.
Yeah.
And usually I think it's like 12-12 or 16-8 or something like that. But the AI figured out something that nobody ever thought about testing, 24-hour light.
Yeah.
Yeah, she says, of course. When I grow my blueberry headband, I use 24-hour cycles.
My fiance has a bunch of grow lights in his house, not for pot, but for his little tropical plant collection. I'm like, you have those in this house, and like you're on a list now because you bought those grow lights.
Are they? They're LED though, right?
They're like, yeah, they have that like pinkish quality to them.
I've been harassed twice for my electrical usage.
Yeah, well, those LED ones aren't. They don't burn as much power, but the old ones, the sodium whatever, that would jack up your electric bill, and you would get a visit.
Yeah, you definitely do get a visit. Can confirm.
Wait, well, you're just for power consumption, not
yeah.
For-
Right. Another thing they used to do, which is, this is amazing. A lot of people use their attics. And if your attic, like if all the houses around you had snow on them, yours didn't, you get a visit.
Yeah.
Remember that, Krista. And that's it for AI and government. Tomorrow it will be business. And I think it will be social media to go with business.
See you tomorrow.
See ya.
Hopefully the audio is decent, except for the whole like,
it wasn't.
1 hour.
Yeah, that was a long episode. See you guys.
Krista, you're supposed to control the time.
I don't, though.